are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide episodes actually 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk about the Giants making a trade. They sent right-handed pitcher Sam Coonrod to the Phillies in exchange for pitching prospect Carson Ragsdale, who was actually a fourth-round pick by the Phillies in the 2020 draft. So it's a really interesting trade. There's quite a lot to say about it, and quite a lot to say now about the Giants' bullpen, which has quietly come together a little bit. So we're going to discuss the bullpen in depth. First, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Fangraphs as a Rotographs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then began hosting this show prior to the 2019 season. But the Sam Coonrod deal is very interesting if you're a fan of the San Francisco Giants. Coonrod, of course, was a major topic for discussion among Giants fans this season. It started off on opening day when there was that show of unity by the Giants and the Dodgers, kneeling for racial injustice, kneeling in solidarity for that cause. And Coonrod was the only player on either side, and I think it also included coaches, so the only person among all the Dodgers and all the Giants who like refused to kneel in this show of solidarity and unity. So then after the game, Coonrod was asked about this by reporters, and he said that he's a Christian and he doesn't kneel before anyone but God. And he also said that he had a problem with Black Lives Matter and some comments about them being a Marxist organization and some negative comments they said about the nuclear family. I don't want to rehash all that, but I'm just reporting what he said. So that didn't sit well with a lot of Giants fans. And then the season he had was very up and down. Coonrod debuted for the Giants in 2019 and was solid. And then this year, what was so interesting is that his stuff just really, really ticked up. He was featuring a fastball that was averaging among the very best in the game. He was hitting 103 miles an hour at times, consistently breaking 100. And he also, honestly, I'm forgetting now if it was a two-seamer or a cutter that was also hitting the upper 90s with movement. So he had a big arm, and it really became big in 2020. But then what he's probably most well known for, if not that opening day stuff, was how his season ended. In the final homestand of the year, he blew a lead in a critical game against the Rockies in the penultimate series of the year. And then with the Padres in town, he was the guy on the mound when Trent Grisham of the San Diego Padres hit that walk-off three-run homer in the bottom of the seventh inning. There's so much backwards. There's so much that's odd about this scenario. But the walk-off three-run homer at Oracle Park in the critical second game of a doubleheader, second game of a four-game series against the Padres to close out the season. Giants had won the first game of the doubleheader. Wilmer Flores just hit a huge, huge home run against Drew Pomeranz late in the game that gave the Giants the lead in the second game of the doubleheader. But then Coonrod comes in to close it out, gives up three runs with the Giants clinging to a two-run lead. And the Giants lose that game, they lose the next two, and then they miss the postseason by one win. If they had won that game, certainly, and any of those three to finish out the year, they would have made the playoffs. So after this trade that, again, netted the Giants Carson Ragsdale, the fourth round pick of the Phillies in the 2020 draft, Farhan Zaidi said the trade was purely a baseball trade and that it made baseball sense to deal him. He pointed out that with the additions they've made, it kind of created a logjam of right-handed relievers on their 40-man roster. And so in the second half of the show, I do want to take a look at that depth of right-handed relievers on the 40-man roster and what the Giants' bullpen figures to look like in 2021. But before that, I want to talk about the return here of Carson Ragsdale. I guess lastly, I'll say about Coonrod, he certainly has upside. He certainly has elite stuff. He's 28 years old. He still has two minor league options. He's under team control forever. So the Phillies get a controllable relief pitcher with upside and great stuff. So there you have it. But in return, the Giants get Carson Ragsdale, who, as I said, was a fourth round pick by the Phillies. He's out of the University of South Florida. He had Tommy John surgery during his college career. Big strikeout stuff, although he exhibited some control issues. Farhan Zaidi said the curve has the potential to be an elite swing and miss strikeout pitch for him. He also said that they're going to develop him as a starting pitcher, not a relief pitcher. He kind of did both in college. And after coming back from Tommy John, Ragsdale was even more impressive than he was before. So he's got a lot of intrigue and some upside. MLB Pipeline said he was the Phillies' 30th best prospect prior to this trade. He's 6'8", a good athlete, and he's relatively new to pitching. And Farhan Zaidi said there's reason to be excited about the upside and that it's going to be important for him to develop a third pitch to go along with his two really good foundational pitches, the fastball and the curveball. So that's that. In the second half of the show, I want to talk about the Giants' bullpen, which is actually shaping up to be perhaps better than many think, in my opinion. Are we ready for some football? The NFL is in full playoff mode, with big games coming up this weekend as well. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. It means if you put in $100, they're going to give you $50 on top of that. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Next, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to take a look at the Giants' bullpen picture, which, as I alluded to in the first half, has actually come together quite nicely, and I want to break down those options and talk about their surprising depth. But first, 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. But getting back to the Giants bullpen situation, this was actually an exercise I kind of did on my own time. And the conclusion I came to was that I don't know how they're going to, you know, shore up their major league pitching staff, given that they have more options than there are spots for pitchers on the roster. In other words, I was wondering, who is it that's not going to make this team? Because you can make a case for like 16 or 17 guys who should be relative locks to make the roster. In other words, I feel pretty good about pretty much every one of 16 or 17 pitchers being on this roster. But assuming we go back to just 26-man rosters, which is still a step up from 25, the 25 that it was prior to 2020. And of course, 2020, we started with 30-man rosters and went down to 28 after a few weeks. But I fully expect things to go back to 26, which was the plan for 2020 prior to the coronavirus pandemic. So I assume that's what we're going to see, although this is a total side issue that Major League Baseball has not been clear about what to expect this year in terms of expanded playoffs, in terms of the universal DH, and in terms of roster sizes. But assuming it's 26, you're going to be capped at 13 pitchers. That's something we learned was going to be the rule heading into 2020, again, prior to the pandemic. But again, like I said, 16 or 17 good options that I saw looking at the Giants' 40-man roster for pitchers and a cap at 13. So four guys even, that I would think are pretty good bets to be on that roster were not going to be on the roster. So I want to look at that depth now and share with you what I found. And all of this to say, I see why Coonrod was expendable, and I'm also impressed by how the Giants have now a few times built up depth in an area and then utilize that depth to make a trade to add in another area. So I think they'll probably continue to do that. They right now have really good depth at catcher, and we have speculated about how there is the potential that the Giants could make a trade given how much depth they have at that position. They have two of the better catching prospects in baseball in Joey Bart and Patrick Bailey. But anyway, I'm going to just name off some of the pitchers on the 40-man roster that I think are close to locks to being on the roster, but certainly won't be because there aren't enough spots. Sean Anderson, Caleb Berger, Tyler Beede, John Brebbia, Johnny Cueto, Anthony DeSclafani, Harleen Garcia, Kevin Gausman, Trevor Gott, Reyes Maranta, Dedniel Nunez, who's the Rule 5 pick, Wandy Peralta, Tyler Rogers, Sam Selman, Logan Webb, and Matt Whistler. Now, many of you probably don't recognize every single one of those names, and I'm going to go through and kind of categorize a little bit. So Tyler Beede and John Brebbia fall into the category of pitchers who are injured and may not or probably will not be ready for the start of the season. That original list that I went through is 16 names. And of course, Coonrod was on that list before he was traded. So that's where I'm saying 17 names. Before I go any further, I want to keep in mind, I did not name several of the right-handed relievers who are now on the 40-man roster after having been added to protect them from the Rule 5 draft, Kervin Castro, Camilo Duvall, and Gregory Santos. So those three guys are candidates to be on the Major League roster. Camilo Duvall is probably the most ready and closest to the Major Leagues. But so if you take out Brebbia and Beede, who are not going to be ready for opening day, there's still 14 pitchers that I just named, and it was 15 before Coonrod was traded. So at least one of those guys would not make the opening day roster. So if we categorize them as starters, oh, and the other thing I want to say is I definitely believe the Giants are going to add at least another starting pitcher who will be likely to be in that opening day rotation. And so then all of a sudden it's going to be 17 guys again, or 15 when you subtract the two injured pitchers. So if we categorize the 14 healthy pitchers right now, I've got Cueto, DeSclafani, Gausman, and Webb as starting pitchers. So that's why I say I think they're going to add at least another starter who figures to immediately project into the starting rotation, because as of right now, I don't even see a clear fifth starter among this group. So when I say I like their depth, I really do mean in the bullpen. So that leaves 10 relievers who I think have a pretty good shot and a pretty good case to be on that roster. And that's the thing. That's why I like this so much, because there's intrigue with every one of these guys, and yet you're not forced to have them on your roster. So they become depth at the upper levels of the minors. And then if you have to bring them back to the majors, you know, you recognize the upside that they have and the potential that they have. So taking out the starters and Beattie and Brebbia, the injured guys, that leaves Sean Anderson, Caleb Berriger, Harleen Garcia, Trevor Gott, Reyes Maranta, Dedniel Nunez, Wandy Peralta, Tyler Rogers, Sam Selman, and Matt Whistler. Again, that's 10 guys, and assuming 5 starters, that would leave you with 8 relievers, so 2 of them likely wouldn't make the opening day roster. And among those 10, 4 are left-handed, in Caleb Berriger, Harleen Garcia, Wandy Peralta, and Sam Selman. So your 6 right-handed relievers there are Sean Anderson, Trevor Gott, Reyes Maranta, Dedniel Nunez, Tyler Rogers, and Matt Whistler. Among these pitchers, the locks, I think, would be probably Berriger. I was really impressed with him. The Giants have spoken out about how impressed they were with him this season. Harleen Garcia, I would think, would be a lock. Reyes Maranta, as long as he's healthy, would be a lock. Wandy Peralta closed out the season really well. I would consider him pretty much a lock. Tyler Rogers and Matt Whistler also I would consider locks. So that's 6 guys. So you only have to have 2 of the 4 left be on your roster. And those players would be Sean Anderson, Trevor Gott, Dedniel Nunez, and Sam Selman. So I just like the option of not having to have those guys in your bullpen, because, you know, Gott was not very good in 2020, but was quite good in 2019. So you're going to see what you have with him in spring training. And if he's just not getting it done, you don't have to have him in your bullpen. Sean Anderson, likewise, we've seen the upside. We've seen what he can bring to the table, but he's been inconsistent. He struggled with command this year. So it's good to have the option to not have to have him on your major league roster. Dedniel Nunez is the Rule 5 pick. They're going to want him on the roster if at all possible. Otherwise, they have to offer him back to the Mets, the team they took him from in the Rule 5 draft. And Sam Selman, left-handed pitcher, was pretty darn good most of the year in 2020. Big strikeout stuff from the left side. But again, don't want to have to rely on an unproven guy like him, and they won't have to. So this is all before Beattie and Brebbia come back, and I think Brebbia is a really good reliever, underrated reliever, and once he's back, he should certainly be given every opportunity to pitch out of the bullpen. And this is also before they make any additional pitching additions. And so once that happens and Beattie comes back, it pushes the depth chart down even more. And so you're even less reliant on the back end of this list. So I just like the quiet depth they've built up, especially in the bullpen. Makes sense why Sam Coonrod was expendable. And this is kind of the story across the board for the Giants roster. Their depth has just gotten so much better. They're just kind of missing that star talent at the front end of the roster. But the back end of the roster has gotten so much better under Farhan Zaidi than it was under the previous regime at the end of their run. So that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's KASPICK. Once again, thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.